the last 3 years roughly have been a huge popularization of terms from the 70s and 80s as we begin and continue to engage in a public and ongoing discussion about sexual violence and rape culture. What started with the popularization of the term rape culture moved into street harassment and then transitioned into the reinvigoration of the Me Too movement. But it's all still part of rape culture. Throughout all of this change, we've seen women coming forward in record numbers to talk about their experiences. We have focused, rightfully so, on empowering women and removing the stigmas they face as they come forward. But as with all movements, there are dark places hidden in the light, and rape culture is as deeply embedded into American society as racism. Some of the very tenets that potentially make someone a rapist also makes them successful. We also have to reconcile that even with all this focus on sexual assault, plenty of known perpetrators are still moving seamlessly through the halls of power. Donald Trump was elected president even after he admitted with his own mouth to being a sexual assaulter, a sexual predator. Now Brett Kavanaugh, Trump's Supreme Court nominee, is facing sexual allegations of his own. However, it looks like he will still ascend to the highest court in the land, regardless of whether he did it or not. As with Trump, a slew of women support Kavanaugh, and they too are making their voices heard. But even further in the back, we have men who have also been assaulted. These men find themselves in the same space that women found themselves a decade ago, or decades ago. Afraid to come forward, ridiculed and teased when they do, and very often met with disbelief. These shades are all part of what we call rape culture. And in this episode of Lessons from the Screen, we are going to dive right in.
Lessons from the Screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
Welcome to another episode of Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of whether or not any information that you can get from any particular screen at any particular time is worth your time. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. You're welcome. Lessons from the Screen is sponsored by PacSync, a Black activist, advocacy, and think tank with the purpose of increasing the quality of life for Black people in America through a focus on education, economics, and a culture shift. You can check them out at www.pactsinc.org. That's pactsinc.org. Drop a line, become a member, donate, volunteer, do whatever you can to help them because they do whatever they can to help you. This show, we're going to be talking about rape culture. And we're going to be talking about some of my own personal experiences with rape culture on both sides of the spectrum. Now, I am going to tell you up front, I'm not going to divulge a whole bunch of what happened and things of that nature, but it is still going to be somewhat of an uncomfortable show. And if you don't like that, then you might want to tune out. I also want to say that as a male, I'm coming at it from the perspective of a male because that's the only perspective I can have. But I have the perspective of a victim as well as somebody that's dealt extensively with sexual predators and perpetrators. So at no point in time during the sharing of any of my stories is the intent to take away from anything going on in the Me Too movement. That is not my purpose. I don't even reference what I'm doing as a part of the Me Too movement. I understand that's a term that women have claimed and they want to own it. And if that's what they want to do, they're entitled to do that. But I am still going to tell my stories in whatever capacity that I can to help broaden the discussion. I'm not trying to all lives matter the discussion either, but the discussion needs to be broadened. And if we really want to find a solution to the issues we're facing, all voices that have a voice need to be able and free and comfortable with sharing. So with that being said, we're going to dive right in. Rape culture is defined as a setting where rape is pervasive and normalized to the attitudes about gender and sexuality. But it goes so much deeper than the objectification of women's bodies or the impulsivity of men. You see, it speaks to how we perceive the world, as that is essentially what culture does for you. It provides a lens through which you can view the world around you and your place in it. It speaks to how we view each other and how we think other people view us. For instance, men are largely viewed as sex-crazed maniacs willing to sell their souls to stick their dick in a warm hole. And some men are. But with that view of men, anyone walking around that sees a man is going to think he only wants to put his dick in me. That view colors nearly every interaction with men, especially strange men that you don't know and aren't familiar with. This view not only affects what you think a man wants from you, but it also affects what you view as acceptable in terms of the behaviors from him and the behaviors and actions that you give to him. This is the same view that causes many to believe that all they need to do to have a good relationship with a man is be good in bed, provide a nice, fun, warm hole, and give him something extra on his birthdays and holidays. But this view makes certain statements and behaviors made by that man acceptable as well, because it falls in line with what you expect. And in some cases, you might even praise a man for restraint when he doesn't behave aggressively at moments when you think he would or could. And in extreme cases, and I've heard this personally myself from people in my circle, you might actually thank your significant other for not raping or sexually assaulting you. On the flip side of this view, there is also an extreme negative for men. You see, when I was about 8 or 9 years old, roughly roundabout, I was home with some friends of my sister's. And I had come out of the room. I was in my bedroom. They were in the living room. I had come out of the room in order to do something or another. And skipping forward a bunch of parts, I found myself being held down by 4 girls who were all older than me. Keep in mind, I'm about 8 or 9 years old. These girls are teenagers. They're holding me down, one on my arms, one on each leg. The other one had pulled my pants down and was playing around with my penis on top of me. And as I squirmed and kicked and fought to try to get away, not only was there laughter on their behalf, but there was also teasing. Are you gay? You don't want this? Stop acting like you don't want this. You know you like what's happening. And when I finally got free and ran in the room and closed the door, the jokes and the ridicule continued. I think he's gay. He gotta be gay. Why wouldn't he enjoy us doing what we had just done? I stayed in my room until my mom came home. And That's the negative side for men. The assumption that we want a warm hole for our dicks causes a lot of predation of young boys by female deviants to go completely unspoken of and unacknowledged. Now, again, I am not trying to take away from the Me Too movement, and I understand that the majority of sexual predators are men. I understand that. But when we're talking about rape culture, we're talking about something that is gender neutral. We're talking about behaviors and mindsets that cause one person to violate another person. And the view that we have of men causes young boys to be violated by women who don't even see themselves as sexual predators. They see themselves as giving a boy his ultimate fantasy. When they tell a young man, a young boy, young teenager, all of the things they're going to do to him or they would do to him because he's attractive, they don't see themselves as harassing that young man. They see themselves as boosting his self-esteem. And so this man box that causes so many men to become sexual predators because of the way they're socialized. And make no mistake about it, if a woman is being raped, that is not her problem. That is not her fault. That is the fault of the rapist. So even in that, as we move to combat rape, we need to be dealing with the aggressors and the perpetrators, changing their behaviors, changing their attitudes. Not focus so much on the women and changing their behaviors and their attitudes. But with that being said, we go back to this man box. This man box is also a prison for men. Because as I think forward to this time, I'm 10 or 11 years old. I found myself trapped in a closet with another bigger, older, stronger female who at this point was trying to force my limp penis into her vagina and then getting upset with me because it wouldn't get hard. And at this moment, I saw or I received even more ridicule for being gay, for not liking women, for not having a penis that works the way it should. Granted, my penis works. But at that age, at that time, in that situation, it was not agreeable to her desires. It wasn't working as intended for her. But met with that same ridicule. She thought that she was giving me what I wanted. She thought that she was being the best thing that I had ever had. Because she thought she was giving me an opportunity, just like the women before her, to live out her fantasies, to live out my fantasies, I'm sorry. And this instance repeated itself 5 times. In 5 different situations and circumstances, I found myself being violated by older teenage girls, women. And I have met a lot of men who have experienced the same thing. And they're all scared to talk about it because of the pervasive view that men want a warm hole, that men can't be sexually assaulted, can't be violated by women unless they're gay. So I grew up in these instances that I never shared, even with my mom. These instances made me standoffish, distrustful, especially of women. It made me become a person that doesn't like physical contact unless I trust you and I really like you. I don't like closeness. And I'm always waiting for somebody to betray my trust. And it's a logical and rational decision that I have to make every day to resist those urges to pull away from my wife, from my children, from my family, from my friends. And again, I've met so many men like that, that have had these experiences, that are just ashamed to tell those stories, because everyone in general agrees there's nothing worse than a weak man. And however we feel about it, when you hear about a man getting assaulted or abused by a woman, the very first thing that pops into most people's heads is weak. Even if he was vulnerable at the time, he's weak for still having issues with it. And it's a lot of the same things that women are experiencing, that women are dealing with, but they're ahead of the curve because they've had the courage, in a lot of cases, to break those cycles and speak out regardless of what's happened to them. There's still a lot of work to be done with regards to men coming and speaking out, because I believe the numbers are erroneous, if we're being honest. I believe that a good chunk of men have been sexually assaulted, and they are carrying that with them, and they will carry it with them until their death. But when I look out and I see a lot of the behaviors that I'm seeing from a lot of men, I'm looking at men that have been assaulted, that have been damaged in some sort of way by somebody that trusted them. I'm not saying it's all sexual, but I am saying it's there. And what I'm asking is that we broaden the conversation a bit and we allow for a total conversation, a total analysis of the culture, a total picture of the culture to be taken. Because the man box is a problem. It really is. The man box is an issue that we have to deal with. This view that a man is aggressive, a man is strong, a man is determined, a man is persistent, a man doesn't take no for an answer, a man handles his business, a man this, a man that, all of those things, a man is not emotional, a man doesn't display weakness, a man doesn't display emotions. All of these things mesh together into what we view as an ideal man from a societal standpoint. But you ever notice how a lot of what we view as the perfect men later on in life, it comes out that they were sexual predators. A lot of the times, these larger than life bombastic guys, these super successful guys, these guys that have all of this money and all of this influence, they all have some sort of sexual predation in their history. Not all, I'm not saying all, but a good chunk of them, I'd say majority of them, have some sort of sexual predation in their history. The man box is a problem, and we can't have a total look at the culture that continues to support rape until we have a discussion on the culpability and the complicity of every single member of our society, both men and women alike. And so for me, the solutions to the problem that we're currently facing as a society when it comes to rape culture is to completely tear down the man box and think about how we want to build it back up. Women have done an amazing job in reshaping womanhood and femininity. They have done an amazing job of it. And because they've done a good job of it, now all of the problems with masculinity that were being hidden in previous generations are now being exposed, because this new form of femininity isn't there to cover up those flaws in the way that it was before. The problem seems to be that everyone in the culture, men and women alike, are resistant to changing masculinity. And maybe that's because we live in a patriarchal society. Speaking specifically to my community, the Black community, though, our families and a lot of our institutions, our churches and things like that, the gatekeepers of our churches and the power structure behind our families are largely matriarchal in nature. So for our communities, I don't understand why we continue to persist behind the curve outside of our amazing cultural pride and our amazing level of shame in which we want to protect ourselves and our image at the expense of everything else. Because in most Black families, the Black woman runs the show. Grandma, Big Mama, whatever you want to call her, she called the shots. And in most of our households growing up, if we had a father or not, Mama ran the show. So you would think in those situations, it would be a lot easier to get a change in the definition of manhood, in masculinity, especially with the changes that we're seeing in the pride and the strength and the character and the willingness for Black women to come forward and be the women that they have always been in our community, now in the outside world. Because Black women have been within the community, the foundation for just about everything we've done. They've been that rock. They've just been that rock for us. Now they're showing the rest of America what we in the Black community have always known and have always seen. But in that, there has to be space for the evolution of manhood. There has to be space for men to be total humans. So I ask that people just think about, really think about the situation that we're facing with rape culture, especially in the Black community. Think about the situations that we're facing regarding sexual assault. Think about real total conceptual ways that we can change, total concept ways that we can change the situation. From my perspective, we really need an open and honest conversation where men and women can come together and talk about these issues, especially within the Black community, because we have a tough task ahead of us dealing with white supremacy racism. We can't be at each other's throats while we're doing it.
Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trust, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious, and we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
Once again, I want to thank you for tuning in to Lessons from the Screen. Lessons from the Screen is brought to you by PAX Inc. through the Freedom Train Network. You can find us on www.freedomtrainradio.com or on iTunes, Google Play Music, or Stitcher. Be sure to head to one of those places and leave us a review, and then be sure to head back to the website to let us know what you think about the show and communicate with us. Also, be sure to head to www.paxinc.org and show some love and support for our sponsors. PAX Inc. is doing big things in the community and trying to do more, always trying to do more. So be sure to head to the website. That's www.paxinc.org. Donate, volunteer, become a member, talk about it, whatever. They can use your support. And once again, they are doing great things in the community. As always, Lessons from the Screen has a frame of reference and perspective that is aligned with that of the Black community. The things that we look at, whether it be on the Trending Tuesday or the regular Lessons from the Screen show, will always be looked at from the Black perspective. So keep that in mind, because we need more minds shaped into that perspective and trying to do things that we need done for ourselves. So with that in mind, again, thank you guys for listening in. Remember to tune in to the Freedom Train Radio. We have the app that's available that you can get from the website. It's in the Google Play Store. Sorry, it's not available on iTunes yet. We have the live internet radio. We have more shows coming up. Thank you. And I will see you guys for the next episode of Lessons from the Screen.